It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Zay Flowers not on the field for Baltimore's practice today, reportedly. Ravens lost Isaiah Likely, at least for a while, with what sounds like a broken foot. Don't know anything more on Flowers, except that he did not practice today, was not on the field. Baltimore here week one. Still a ways off. Still kind of a ways off.
Worth monitoring, though.
It's worth monitoring. It's still also July, and that game is in September. Aaron Schatz is with us. Aaron, does it feel close? Are you somebody that gets excited for the return of football vis-a-vis the Hall of Fame game tomorrow?
Training camp, I'm excited for. Hall of Fame game, not really. I'm not really a preseason guy, and this is like the most useless of all the preseason games, so not that excited.
Okay. So best to pace ourselves, right?
Good for you not taking the bait, because I said earlier, and I've said this for years, like the Hall of Fame game and then the Bills' first preseason game are very much the same to me. Sit down, all right, football, and like 8 minutes later, just what am I doing with my life? Like, why am I here? It's nice out, there's a sunset, what am I doing? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting to have training camps back. It's exciting to just get reports from training camp. I mean, you don't want to hear silly things like training camp stats, but just to know that these are practicing, talking about depth charts, it's good.
Aaron, it used to be different with training camp because of social media and all the mass amount of coverage. It used to be that, like, maybe you'd get word of an injury, but it was not as sudden. The swings weren't as wild. Like, I do a fantasy podcast called ADP Chasing, and yesterday in the course of it, there were like five injuries, and three or four of them, oh, the player's back. Luther Burden wasn't an injury, but I mean, Worthy and Neighbors and these different guys. I don't, which was a better existence, back when we were just kind of in the dark for a while, or now where it can be just like a lot?
This is fun now, but you have to remember that in training camp, it's much easier to bring the cart out than it is during a game. So the cart comes out for everything. So if you hear that the cart came out for a player, it doesn't mean it was a major injury because it's training camp.
Right on.
And there are carts parked all over the place at these complexes.
So many carts.
Right. You find something to do with the carts. Let's get some use out of the carts. Go get that guy.
Justin Fields won the honors of being first carted off. He's already back.
Right.
So, I mean, that wasn't even the same practice, but still, like, you can get a little
paranoid. Someone stepped on his ankle.
Paranoid.
Right, stepped on his ankle. Whatever.
Whatever. Aaron's FTN Football Almanac for 2025 is out. I saw from a tweet of yours just a few little nuggets that you put in a tweet earlier today. One, the Bills play less base defense than any other team. When I wrote that in my notes, I left out the word base. I just wrote the Bills play less defense than any other team. That's not quite it. How interesting is this?
Yeah, some of it is, you know, game status because they're winning and the other team is passing, so they play nickel. But McDermott's been this way since he was in Carolina. He just doesn't play base. He plays nickel all the time. And it's interesting because it changes how you look at the personnel, right? The nickel cornerback becomes even more important, and the third linebacker becomes basically just as depth.
Right.
So it does change the way you look at the roster.
Yeah, I wonder if that is – we've been pondering here, Aaron, whether that is going to change at all, whether McDermott – because it has felt for many years now, and I'll bet we've talked about this, the three of us in the past, that he's among the defensive coaches who are inviting you to run. Go ahead and run. You want to run? Run. I'm gonna line up, so I'm begging you to run because I'd rather you do that than, you know, what I want to do is take away your pass game and especially your explosive passing game. But the way the Bills have handled this offseason, it feels a little bit like they're trying to shore up that run defense. And I wonder if, say, a Dorian Williams, who is basically that linebacker you just described, who's like he's the next guy, but he is not on the field as a third linebacker very often, if at all. I wonder if they might start mixing that in a little bit. I think that might be something to keep an eye on this year.
Maybe. I still feel like McDermott has done this for so long that it's like almost like he'd be more. I more would expect three safeties to be the switch than the three linebackers to be the switch.
It's worked for him. I mean, they have been consistently good. There are a lot of changes on that defense this year. And as far as nickel corner, Taron Johnson affords him, you know, this luxury, if you will, having been as excellent as he has. What are your particular projections for the Bills this year defensively? It will look a little different, I mean, personnel-wise.
I mean, we like the defense. We have them projected in our top 10. There's no way they're going to have as many turnovers as they did last year, right? Turnovers regress to the mean very heavily. The Bills' defense was very dependent on turnovers last year. But we still think it's a good defense. We think, you know, the luck will not be quite there, but the talent is a little bit improved. And so that evens it out a little bit. And I don't think this is going to be a bad defense. I think it should be a good one.
32 takeaways last year, regular season, third in the league, to 8 turnovers, first in the league. So this one works in both directions, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, given Allen's history, you would expect a couple of more interceptions, but I think fewer turnovers for the defense is much more likely than more turnovers for the offense.
Aaron Schatz with us. The Almanac is out. FTN Football Almanac from Aaron for 2025. We've talked to each other. We've known each other for many years. Long enough so that when we would have, even weekly for a while there during the season with you, Aaron, we would often hear you say, man, for the fans up there, I just hope someday they get good. You know, like it goes back far enough where you'd been on for enough years during the Bills playoff drought. Like, you know, I'd like to see it happen someday. And now, I mean, look at it.
Are they annoying yet?
it's been 8 years of McDermott and they've been in the playoffs 7 times. The betting markets like the Bills as pretty much as anybody this year. Do you concur?
Yes, we like the Bills. They have our highest win projection. We do end up with the Ravens slightly ahead of them in the DVOA projections, the ratings. And we do have the Ravens with a slightly higher Super Bowl chance based on that. But the Bills are more likely to have the home field advantage. That week one game is super duper important, obviously, for home field advantage. But we're in this weird place. We're in this weird place where the four best quarterbacks in the league are all in the same conference. And only one of them can go to the Super Bowl every year. And it just so happens, I ran this table in the book. The best team over 5 years in the regular season since 1978 to not make a Super Bowl is the last 5 years of the Bills. And the second best team is the last 5 years of the Ravens.
How about that? I don't know if you...
It's a compliment, but it's also... right? Should we take that as, well, that's great, but in all caps?
I mean, my feeling has always been that players and teams that quote-unquote can't get it done in the playoffs only can't get it done until the year that they do get it done. There are plenty, you know, Peyton Manning being a good example. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of guys who they have the year where it all comes together. A really good example from football is the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams were something like 66-19 from 1973 to 1978. Never made the Super Bowl. And then they finally made it in 1979. Yeah. The problem that the AFC has is, let's say somebody gets past Mahomes, it still has to be either Jackson or Allen or someone else. It certainly can't be both of them because only one can do it.
We've had this conversation about the Manning Colts. I can hear you saying it. Like, it wasn't their best team that won. And the Rams, what a great example of that they are. In 79, they were 9-7. Malavasi, like, that team wasn't as good. Maybe they were better than their record. But the teams that you cited before that under Knox mostly were, like, they had great records.
Yes, it's absolutely true. The team that makes it in the playoffs and finally wins it all is not necessarily the best team that you have. Certainly, I don't know about the Bills because I think this year they look about as good as last year, but the Ravens have been so good the last 2 years in the regular season that it's almost impossible to imagine they'll be that good in the regular season again. So if they happen to be the team that gets past the Chiefs and makes it, it will absolutely not be their best year.
Well, I want to say accept that these points, that I look at it the same way, that there's nothing that says the Bills can't do it. Do you know the losses in the playoffs well enough to be able to sort of put a you know, drop a line or two on like why it hasn't turned out differently. Of course, beyond the obvious about how great Mahomes and Kansas City have been also. But the one thing that I always go to is, Aaron, in the four now playoff losses to Kansas City, they've been totally unable to stop Mahomes. They've no interceptions. You know, they've just had, for a team last year, the Chiefs, that had a really rough season offensively, they had an easy time in that game. That's where I would turn.
Yeah, I will fully admit to being terrible at remembering details of games unless I prep ahead of time, but I think you're right. I mean, this is the big difference between the Bills and the Ravens, is that with the Ravens, you can have this discussion of Lamar Jackson, why does he not live up to his regular season performance in the playoffs? You can't have that discussion with Josh Allen. It's much more about the defense and whether they can stop Mahomes. It's not like Allen has had a bunch of bad games in the playoffs.
Right, but that said, here, I will get some details for you, because, and I don't know where this will end us up here, but this has been the talk for really two off seasons, is that McDermott, and it all traces back to 13 seconds, not surprisingly, Aaron, like that, he's wearing that like a scarlet letter. We said it on the postgame show immediately after that game. Until they win the Super Bowl, this is going to be a moment we are talking about for years, and well, here we are, we're still talking about it, but I think in part because of that, I have to say it makes any complaining or criticizing his defense unfair, but the last two times they've lost to the Chiefs, they've had the ball with a chance to score a touchdown and take the lead around the two-minute warning and haven't come through.
Yeah.
And in both of those situations, I would say I would take that. Like going into the game, I've got Allen with the ball around midfield or even in your territory around the two-minute warning needing a touchdown to beat you. I would sign for that before the game begins, and they have not come through. So, yes, the offense has, and Allen has performed fantastically, but in the end, I'm not sure that blaming the defense for all of the failure is entirely fair either.
The other thing I hear from Bills fans a lot is complaints about McDermott not being aggressive enough, which is strange to me because in the regular season, at least, he's one of the more aggressive coaches in the league on fourth down. So I think he just needs to make sure that that he doesn't lose his spine in the playoffs, that he keeps with the aggression that he shows during mm-hmm. the regular season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it might be more his image than anything else. You know, he comes off as conservative, and maybe he started as conservative and established that. But I'm always watching that closely, and I agree. It's not so much fair to label him that way. With Aaron Schatz, so I mean this all as a question. I'm thinking about it feels like, okay, in the NFL, we've moved toward the running game. It's sort of bounced back the other way like it does in this sport many times over the years. To what extent is that sort of an overstatement maybe, what we saw last year in terms of these trends? And do you think whatever it was will continue?
Yeah, it was a little bit, and it was 1 year. I wouldn't overstate the power of the 1 year quite yet. The passing game is still far more important than the running game, and pass defense is still far more important than run defense, and we're still not playing in the 1970s. You definitely saw last year, what you saw is the value of a good running back with a good offensive line, okay? That you, when a good running back is not playing with a good offensive line, they have a lot less value, that it's sort of a force multiplier. We'll have to see what happens. The offensive line with the Raiders is okay, but like it'll be interesting to see what happens with Ashton Janty this year, right? Because he's considered a running back of that level, and he's considered that he breaks so many tackles that he sort of surpasses the problems of his line. But we'll have to see.
Right. You mentioned Janty. What do you think of the Raiders? And if not the Raiders, who are a couple of interesting dark horses to you?
I kind of like the Raiders to be better than people are expecting, but I think that they are a team with a very small range of possibilities, right? When you have a young quarterback, you have a very wide range of possibilities because your quarterback could be much better than expected or could be much worse. When you are a veteran team with a veteran coach and a veteran quarterback that's going to depend on the run game rather than the passing game, it just feels like the Raiders are like, they're going to win like 6-9 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're not going 3-14, And they're also not going to go like 11-6. Like, they're just kind of mediocre. So that's what I think of the Raiders. That's still better than conventional wisdom.
Yeah, that's logical. Like, that's logical. I could see the Raiders. Maybe it's a little bit above your range, but with Seattle, Geno Smith, what a cool story. This guy, he's actually good. Look at these clips and look at the accuracy. They get to the playoffs and, yeah, no. Can you see the Raiders getting the 7? Maybe. Can you see them winning here in that game?
No.
That's tougher.
Right. Yeah, well, y'all don't do the weird stuff Baltimore does. Baltimore loses one or two of those every year. Buffalo doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? Those weird losses.
Is there a team in the – it's really the Chargers or the Broncos are the only two that are left. Are either of those teams ready to challenge Kansas City, or do you think Kansas City is just sort of steady as she goes or spectacular as she goes, maybe even ready to bounce back offensively after a couple of years where they have not been as potent as they had been prior?
Yeah, I think Kansas City is mostly steady, but they're not going to have the luck this year that they had last year. Like, they might be better, but not as lucky, and therefore they're not going to go 15-2. Our numbers like Denver much more than the Chargers. We have Denver as like our number one or two projected defense, and we have the Chargers defense coming back to the pack.
That's interesting. New England, Aaron, so all my fantasy stuff, people are now sort of saying the same thing. This happens. You can't find anybody who's not in on Drake May in fantasy. Like, there's a rushing upside element specific to fantasy that people like him as a draft pick. But it just seems that sort of the world has decided that he's it. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, he's really good. Like, the problem is, you know, how much have they improved things around him, right? Because you don't want him to get bad habits because of problems around him. So they really hope that they've really improved things around him with all the offensive line changes and Stephon Diggs and the rookie Kyle Williams. But I do think that he's really good. I think our projections are a little lower on the Patriots than the conventional wisdom. So I think people might be overstating just how good a coach Vrabel is, because we don't really know that he's that good a coach, because we only have one team of sample for him, which was the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, our projection system may be underselling just how bad a coach Mayo was. So it may be that Vrabel's not as good as people think he is, but Mayo was so bad that the difference between them is huge.
How big an upgrade do you think the Bears coaching move is likely to be? Ben Johnson has a lot of fans, but this is his first crack at head coach.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. We know that he is a smart, like, creative offensive play caller, but there is a lot that goes into being a head coach that you just don't know if a guy can do it until he does it. And there are plenty of quality coordinators who fail as head coaches. I do like his ability to be good with the Bears, but I think there are some serious questions about their defense other than Jalen Johnson, and I also think that they have a very hard schedule this year.
In turn, Detroit, how big a blow? They lost Aaron Glenn, too, the Lions. How do you think that'll look?
Our numbers still love Detroit, even giving them penalties for having the new coordinators. It still thinks. I mean, they were so injured on defense last year that if they have normal health on defense, given the way they played on defense last year, they should be a top defense. Now, the thing to remember is their offense was one of the healthiest in the league last year. And so you have to start asking yourself, who can they lose to injury? I mean, they already lost Ragnow to retirement.
Yep.
If they lose guys to injury, are they going to have problems? But if you expect an average number of injuries, we think Detroit's going to pull through and be one of the top teams in the league.
I'm thinking that a system of projections would almost definitely have Philadelphia as the top team in the NFC East. It's just a quirk in that 20 years have gone by and no team in that division has repeated as champs. How live are their contenders there? Washington, NFC Championship. A lot of people seem to like Dallas.
Surprise! Like, this is my most surprising projection. We actually have Washington ahead of Philadelphia.
Okay. I mean, you're airing shots.
Right. This is your brand.
Defense is less consistent than offense. And Philadelphia was only 13th on offense last year by my rating. They were number one in defense by a lot. it's very unlikely they're going to be number one on defense again, especially given the amount of talent that they lost in the offseason. We believe in the young players that are going to replace those guys, like Mauro Ajomo and Jalen Hunt, but we haven't really seen them yet, so you can't expect that they're going to be that good. And if their defense is like third or fourth in the league, and they have the second hardest projected schedule compared to Washington at 12, Washington can pass them.
That's the Eagles playing here and the Commanders playing Miami. And that's on a neutral site, too. That's in Europe.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big difference. That's a big difference.
Speaking of Miami, real quick on them. I know we've kind of hopped around here, but we mentioned New England. I don't think we need to really get into the Jets. The Dolphins have been the team that was the closest, right? We're in agreement there. To, you know, in the rearview mirror, the Dolphins have been the team that was closest to the Bills. And I sort of feel like New England has maybe replaced them, and I feel like Miami's going the wrong way. What do your numbers say?
It's because part of it is, you know, I talked about that wide range of possibilities, that the Raiders have a very slim range. The Patriots have a very wide range of possibilities. Miami feels very stagnant. The chapter in the Almanac talks about the question of whether people have figured out McDaniels' offense, and also his inability to do anything whenever he has a backup quarterback, which is a little bit of a problem when you have a quarterback who keeps having concussion issues. And their defense, oh my God, are there no cornerbacks? Yeah. Like, there are no cornerbacks, and then they just lost, like, their best cornerback, Kader Kohu, who's not really that good, but still was, like, the best guy they had, and they lost him for the year. So, like, they have pass rushers, but there's no secondary.
Maybe they should trade for Jalen Ramsey. Is it too late?
Yeah, it's a little too late for that guy. Like, I don't really understand the whole Ramsey thing, honestly.
Make the same offer back, you don't get him. You have to make it better to have any chance. You'd have to improve on that. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Aaron, so I see from your Twitter, ftnfantasy.com/almanac. Is that the best and easiest way to pick it up?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the PDF. That's where you get the PDF file. If you do want the printed book, it costs a little bit more. You can search on Amazon for FTN Football Almanac 2025. But we like to sell those PDFs. They're real good for us. So ftnfantasy.com/almanac is where you pick it up.
Aaron, thank you. I know you were on the show that precedes ours, One Bills Live, as well today. I think you're probably all primed. If you wanted to go out tonight, just talk Bills with anybody. I mean, you've two radio hits in one day. You've got to be completely up to speed here.
And I mean, the thing, look, it's happy to talk about the team with my top win projection,
right?
Because, like, that, I'm saying good things, right? You're more unhappy if you call me from, like, Minnesota or something.
Ooh, I want to read this. I want to read the Minnesota section now. A lot of people like them. We'll see. All right. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Aaron Schatz, ftnfantasy.com/almanac. Very interesting division, the NFC North. The Bears. We asked him about the Bears. I found a mid-stakes fantasy team with five Bears on it. I don't know what happened there. I have no explanation. I'm not doing media. I'm just going to duck it.
Yeah,
I don't know what I would say.
I can understand. You just don't. You don't have an answer. There's no way.
I don't have an answer.
You can't answer for that.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how Cracklin' Honey Bears has Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, who I never draft. Apparently, I do draft him. Luther Burden and Cole Kmet. Doesn't sound good at all. It's not even the right guys. Where's Loveland? Where's Odunze?
Well, I got to tell you, what would go down real nice tonight around 9:30, 9:45, hopefully catching the last inning of a ball game I've been watching, is a nice bowl of Cracklin' Honey Bears that's been sitting in the freezer.
Yep.
Just get the bowl nice and cold, get those Cracklin' Honey Bears out of the freezer, pour the milk on there. Oh.
Who's on the box?
Perfect.
Who's on the box?
Some sort of Grateful Dead imagery.
Caleb.
I've got the okay, but I need him to be like one of those dancing bears you see on the window stickers that are the Deadheads have.
No, it'll be a picture of Derrick Henry and Brock Bowers, who are also on this team. And then the customer is intrigued.
You've ruined it. Now I don't want the cereal anymore.
I ruined it by making it too football-y. Well, sorry. I'm flattered you wanted to eat it. We'll take a break. Sal next with the latest on Maxwell Hairston. It's good news. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Sal's kind enough to fit us in today, given the good news on Maxwell Hairston. Yesterday we'd been contemplating the worst, Sal, that maybe this would be a season ender. But much better news than that. Looks like only a few weeks and could be ready by week one.
Yeah, I think good news is in context, right? I mean, because we did see the video and it did appear that it could be much more serious, I think learning that it is an LCL sprain, which is what I was told via a league source, and the ACL is intact, that is good news. I mean, it is still not good news that you're rookie first-round cornerback who bases his game off speed, acceleration, change of direction, is going to be out a few weeks. But look, it could have been a lot worse here. We obviously, we know now, and you know, from what I'm reporting and others have reported, that it looks like, you know, he has a chance at least to be ready for the regular season, but we'll see where it goes. I will say this, just to make note and clarify for everybody, the Bills don't generally give timelines on injuries, and I will report through my league source that there is no definitive timeline on his return at this point. I know that it was speculated by Ian Rappaport that maybe up to about as little as 3 weeks, but that's his report. I will say from I've heard, there's no confirmation on any timeline to return.
No reason to even offer one, you know?
That's
right. We'd have some history with this particular injury of how long it tends to take, but everybody's different. Reaction to the pain, whatever kind of confidence you have on the knee, what the team wants to do, how slow they want to take it. I mean, it's really not even worth guessing.
Right. And on top of the fact that the Bills just don't do that anyway. The Bills are, right. We've talked about this many times. The Bills are pretty notorious. Sean McDermott does not put timeline on injuries. And the reason is very simple. Like, you don't want to paint yourself into a corner. If you say a guy is going to be back in 3 weeks and it's four, there's a lot of questions. Why? What happened? Medical staff didn't do their job. He didn't rehab right. Things like that. If you say a guy is coming back in 4 weeks and he comes back in two, it's like, what do you mean? You didn't know about the injury and how severe it was? So you just don't do things like that.
If ever I were to call in sick with the flu, I would never call it the 24-hour flu, because then they know I'm back tomorrow. Like, I'm
right.
I'd better be here the next day. What if I don't feel good the next day?
I don't know
how many hour flu this is. who am I? Marcus Welby?
Oh, my God. Sal, this show needs to be pulled over.
Give me a new doctor.
Maybe who's taken
new doctor?
Out back and shot. What is Marcus Welby?
Give me a new doctor.
Oh, my God.
Later. Give me a new one. Later we'll update that. We'll take that out in post.
Will McDermott talk tomorrow before practice, Sal? Is that scheduled?
No, he is not scheduled to talk tomorrow. He is not scheduled to, but we could hear from him. He may...
Because of this news.
I don't know. We could get something from Sean. A lot of times what happens in these situations is you might get something more official from the Bills. You know what I mean? But so we'll see about that. And when it does happen, when he does talk, and I you know why, guys? He's actually talking before the open practice.
Oh, Friday's the practice. So, right.
Yeah. So I would think it, you know, we always, what do we hear? These are just terms Sean McDermott uses, right? Week to week is a term he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Going to miss some time, you know, things like that. Like, those are the things that he says a lot when we know there's no definitive timeline, but a guy's going to be out a little while.
What has been your assessment prior to the injury of how Hairston was doing? I mean, I know Tre'Davious White has been getting more of the run with the ones, but Hairston's gotten some. Like, to your eyes, and just from talking to coaches and players around camp and other media, like, what do you think he is struggling with, and what do you think he was maybe excelling at, Hairston, I'm talking about?
So, I don't think he's been better than White. I think White's been very good. But... that's why. I think Tre'Davious White's just been really good. I thought he was the best player on the field, as we talked about yesterday, which is really nice to see. Where I like where Max Hairston has made a lot of growth since OTAs and minicamp is his ability to know where to be, to line up correctly, to understand concepts. And I only get that from, and I can get that just garnering from being down there on the field, watching practice, listening to people talk to him, where are you supposed to be, telling him where to line up. Hey, That's your spot. Move forward. Move left. I don't see a lot of that happening out of training camp. You know, and it's good. He is always over, and it's really cool to see two things with him. After almost every rep, he talks to Jamil Adai, his corners coach. They just kind of talk about things. They go over things, which is really great. And honestly, you know, whenever Tre'Davious White gets subbed out, for him, they look at each other, they pass each other, do like a fist bump, a high five. They say something to each other. It's like, you know, he knows that Tre'Davious is there to help him, and I think Tre'Davious wants him to know that he's there to help him. Where I think that he still can get better is just in the physical playing the ball right now and where to be when the ball arrives. I think pre-snap has gotten a lot better since OTAs and minicamp. He has made a few plays. He's also been beaten a few times where I think, you know, if he is a little bit closer to the receiver there, if he's running a little bit more, stride for stride with him. But look, it's not like it's happening every day where he's getting beat. That happened against Keon Coleman the other day when Coleman made a great adjustment and Max just kind of flew by him a little bit instead of understanding the concept of where the ball is going to come down. But he also made an incredible play the first day of practice when KJ Hamler was basically right in the end zone awaiting a ball. Nobody was within him, and all of a sudden Max Harrison understood, I need to be right there, right now, and he got there.
Well, Trey White, I mean, all the more reason with these latest developments with Harrison to think he'll be in the starting lineup week one against Baltimore. It's kind of incredible. Like a year ago, this would not have sounded to me like anything I'd ever want to do with as much admiration for him as many of us have had. But that'll be one we talk about leading up to the Ravens. He played for the Ravens in their last game here. And so they know who they're dealing with in Trey White and vice versa.
He did, and you're right about that. You know, and the Ravens at this point look like they could be without Isaiah Likely. Obviously, that's a pretty significant blow for their passing game. It's not built on the wide receivers, right? Their passing game is good enough. Rashad Bateman's pretty good, and Zay Flowers mostly in the slot. But this is not a wide receiver, outside boundary wide receiver eccentric offense, right? So maybe something there is a great way to kind of just see where to get Tre'Davious White, his feet back under him in a regular season game. He's going to have some time in preseason before that. You know, you're not throwing him right out there against the top receivers in the league and top guy in the league and saying, go cover him. You know, Christian Benford's going to be your cornerback one in that scenario. But I agree with you, Mike. I mean, you go back a year ago and, you know, after he was released by the Bills and Tre'Davious White, you know, goes on, he signs at the Rams and always felt kind of, oh man, I can't believe it. And, you know, this guy had such a promising career, he was so good, and these injuries derailed him. And now here we are, and he's back in the fold with the Bills. And not only back, but, I mean, I think he's energetic. I think he really is confident right now, and I like the way he's been playing.
And by the way, Zay Flowers left Baltimore's practice yesterday with an apparent leg thing and was not on the field for practice today. That's the latest I have on that, which isn't much, but there could be something there too.
Yeah, so remember he missed last year's playoff game, right? Did he didn't play against the Bills last year.
Right. Yeah, right. Flowers.
Oh, yeah?
He got twisted. What was he? Got twisted in the Pittsburgh game on the sideline or something and maybe missed that game. I forgot about that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for fitting us in here, Sal.
You got it, guys. Have a great one.
All right. There you go. That is Sal Capaccio on what was supposed to be his day off. But, you know, we had Max Harrison news. Good news, relatively speaking. You know, better news than we thought 24 hours ago. Anyway, training camp coverage continues to be brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
I had forgotten that about Flowers. That game, Andrews 5 for 61 in the fumble, Likely 4 for 73 in a touchdown, Bateman 4 for 66 in the touchdown. That opened the scoring. Anthony Miller had one. Tylan Wallace, yeah, it's a big loss. I think of Flowers, and I think of the fumble in the playoffs against Kansas City
right
at the one-yard line the year before, which was weird because the Chiefs fumbled on the one-yard line here.
Right.
The week before.
That's right.
And the Bills recovered that, and the Chiefs recovered the one in Baltimore. Game changers. Well, it wasn't the second example, at least, because the Bills lost anyway. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We'll be right back. This is WGR.